God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 27th day of June, 2010, and you're listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. Our sermon is taught by our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, and it is entitled, Fruit of the Spirit, Peace. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you're listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks again for listening.
Galatians chapter 5 this morning and Philippians chapter 4 as we continue with our series on the fruit of the Spirit. And just want to remind you to make sure you're giving out the fruit of the Spirit each and every day, each and every week, as that is what we've been called to do. It's part of our series, Walking in the Spirit, and the evidences of walking in the Spirit and benefit thereof are we produce the fruit of the Spirit and what a joy it is. We talked about that last week, love and joy last week. Two great fruits. We're going to continue on with the next two this morning. So stand with me if you would, Galatians chapter 5. We're going to jump down to verse 22. We've read up above verse 16 that said, walk in the Spirit and the importance of that. And now verse 22, when you walk in the Spirit, what is produced And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. And then out says peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, where we were last week as well, Sunday evening, Paul writing, expressing these fruits in a very vivid way, said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I want to remind you, it is contagious to rejoice. It is necessary that we have a merry heart. It do good like a medicine. Okay? It's one of the great things that we produce besides love, which is the greatest in the Christian life, is joy. And the fact that we enjoy our Christian life, we enjoy the Spirit of God. Nobody wants to be a part of something that just looks bad. You know, it looks horrible. You know, and if you can't stand being a Christian, you can't stand serving God, why would anybody want that? And so joy is great, but the next part is something probably everybody longs for, and that is peace. And so here in Philippians 4, he says, then let your moderation be known unto all men, verse 5. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing or anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And look at verse 7. You've heard it before, but look at it. It says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Lord, we come to you now. Lord, as this great pursuit of peace that so many people, Lord, on earth are pursuing. And yet, Lord, you've told us in your word exactly how to have that. And Lord, right here in very clear language is a process, Lord, towards peace. Now it begins, we understand, Lord, by walking in the Spirit. By having a relationship with you that allows the Spirit to move in our life. And Lord, as we do that, there's other things that we can do that will provide this peace. And so, Lord, I pray that we'd walk out of this place today, Lord, with a little better, a little stronger peace with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's not a news story. If you've been probably in church for a while, you've heard it. But every once in a while, Andy will share a story about a hymn. And as I was reading this and going over peace, the one that stuck out to me was just so clear, deals with Horatio Spafford. Many of you are familiar with the story. We won't go into all the details of it because of familiarity, but there are some elements I thought were interesting as I went back and reread the story. Horatio Spafford, you may not know, was a very successful businessman, and they were in Chicago. Things were going good, and family was getting ready to head on a trip to France, and he decided to send the family ahead because he still had some business to complete. So he put them on a ship, and off they went. It was November 21st in the Atlantic. The seas were very calm. Things were going really good, and everybody went to sleep. About 2 a.m. on November 22nd, there was a loud clap, like a thunder clap. And what had happened, an English ship had run into their ship, hit them right in the side. Suddenly, passengers began to awake, and you can imagine panic began to ensue. They're running into the halls, as the story goes, and no one knew what was happening, what was going on. But quickly, water began to fill up. Horatio Spafford's wife, Anna, was standing there with her four children. She was holding on to Tanetta, the youngest, and she watched as the three girls were swept out to sea, and there was nothing she could do. Grabbing tightly to her youngest daughter, suddenly the waves were too strong, and the youngest daughter began to be swept away. As she was swept out of her arms, she dove and grabbed her by just the shirt that she was wearing, her little jacket, and hung on for just a few seconds, thinking everything was fine until once again the waves came and she was rushed away. Her last grab was to someone's pant leg, and then she passed out. When she woke up, and of course they had her on the other ship because their ship had sunk, and they finally got word to Wells, and from Wells they got back to the United States to Chicago, and the message came to Horatio Spafford, and it basically said this: four daughters lost, wife saved. At that time he began to pace the floor, and interesting, he picked up a quote. As he paced the floor and thought about the situation, he turned toward a friend, Major Whittle, and said these words: I am glad to trust the Lord when it will cost me something. Amazing words from a man who just lost all his daughters. I am glad, he said, to trust the Lord when it cost me something. He then jumped on a ship, began to go to meet his wife. As he was on the ship from America, heading to meet his wife, they passed the location where the ship had sunk that his daughters were in. And it's there that he wrote the famous hymn. He wasn't known so much as a hymn writer, but there he sat down and he penned these words, "It is well with my soul." In your hymn books, page 275 is that song, "It is well with my soul." Now, I'm going to spare you by not singing it to you, or it would not be well with your soul. But listen to the words as a man just realized he lost all of his family except for his wife. He now goes by that place, and instead of being distraught, instead of just being mad at God, he decides to write. And in his writing, he writes it this way: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Powerful words. Whatever my lot, whatever happens, Lord, I've learned something. You've taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. Wow. He said, I decided to focus on the fact that Christ, God, gave up his only son and lost everything. And instead of focusing on my tragedy, I put my trust in Almighty God. And amazingly, an amazing peace came over him. And he wrote, "It is well with my soul." And that song is sung in churches today to bring peace to believers all across the world. As they sing, as you've gone through much trial, much affliction, much attack, and yet you can come into the house of God and sing, it is well with my soul. I want to ask you this morning, is it? You may not have lost four daughters in a terrible tragedy, but is it well with your soul? Through the sickness, through the economy, through all that's taken place, can you actually say that you can worship God today with peace in your heart? That you can go to work tomorrow with peace in your heart? That you can get up and live and be peace with God and peace with man? Because it is well with your soul, regardless of what comes your way. That is a fruit of peace. And that is available for every believer who wants it. Do you realize that? Now, folks, I tell people, you never know what's going to happen. Everybody here will go through some type of tragedy. You say, well, I haven't yet, preacher. Most likely, you will not escape this life without tragedy to you or a family member. You said, why? It's the way life is. Life isn't fair. Life is difficult. Life is hard. And so because of this, tragedy comes. Folks, don't wait for a tragedy to find peace. Why? You want the peace before the tragedy comes. You want to have that relationship with God that says, if bad things come and my lot in life is to go through this, I want to go through it with the very peace and grace of God that Jackie sang about. And that's why we preach the sermons we preach. We challenge you to come to the house of God, get in the Word of God, and walk in the Spirit. Why? So that you can walk in peace when the tough times come. This morning, I want to talk about peace and the importance of peace. To do that, I believe there's three elements to peace we're going to talk about. The first one is peace with God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5 this morning real quick. Romans chapter 5. I believe it's imperative that everybody here, first of all, walk out of this building knowing that I have peace with God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says this: "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Amen to that. I'm glad to tell you today that I have peace with my God. If I were to die right now, John Waterloo knows this: I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to heaven because I'm good, okay? I'm not going to heaven because I'm in this church. I'm going to heaven because I've made peace with God. I came to a point in my life where I realized I was separated from God, just as you are. Everybody is born separated from God. Nobody is born right with God. You're all born with sin. Now, I know that's hard to deal with sometimes, unless you just look in the mirror and are honest, and you realize, I'm a sinner. The fact of the matter is, nobody's good, the Bible says. Nobody is perfect. Our best is nothing but filthy rags to God, the Bible says. We are born separated from Almighty God. And you may be in a good family. You may be in a church-going family. You may be in a family with character and all those things, but you're still separated from God. And there has to be a time in everybody's life where you stop and say, I want to make peace with God. I want to stop and make sure I'm right with Almighty God. Because one day I'm going to stand before judgment, the Bible says. And I'm going to be there. And I tell you, there's two judgments. There's a great white throne judgment, and there's a Bema Seat judgment. Let me help you. You don't want to be at the white throne judgment. Everybody at the Bema Seat judgment are believers that are being judged for what they've done. and you're receiving rewards. That's a great place to be. That's a rejoicing place to be. That's the judgment. You're not being judged for your soul. Your soul's already saved, just for your works. But the great white throne judgment spoken of Revelation is a place that everybody standing there is going to be cast into hell. Why? Because they never made peace with God. And by the way, you don't want to wait. Well, I'll preach, I'll live my life, and maybe when I die, then I'll make peace with God. It's too late, folks. It's too late. The fact of the matter is God has given you a life right now. And this time right now, this journey of life, the number one priority in your life ought to be this. Have I made peace with Almighty God? Because nothing else matters except that. That is the base of everything we do. And I'm telling you, there ought to be a specific time in your life when you do, you stop. And you confess your sins to Almighty God. I'm not talking about you did something bad one night and said, I'm sorry. I mean, you confessed your sins in whole and said, God, I'm a sinner before you. And you recognize he died for you and paid the price. And by faith, you put your trust in him. And you were saved. You made peace with God. I did that at 11 years old. I was fortunate to do it young. Matter of fact, the stats say 85% put their faith in Jesus Christ before the age of 18. Are you aware of that? 85%. If you're over 18 today and you've never made peace with God, you're in a 15% bracket. What are you saying, preacher? That's nothing to mess with. I'm going to tell you right now. That is nothing to mess with. That means you're going to get in your life and you're going to be doing all kinds of things. And the last thing you want to think about is spiritual or heavenly things. I'm telling you, it's the most dangerous place to be in. That's really the only reason I like funerals is the fact that at every funeral, I bring out a message telling people how they can make peace with God. You say, why? Because at funerals, you're thinking about life and death. And what a greater time to have to stop in your life and pause for a minute and say, hey, if this was me, am I right with God? So I want to ask you today, of all that we're going to talk about today, the number one important thing is this. Do you have peace with Almighty God? And the only way that happens, folks, is one way. You accept his death, burial, and resurrection, and that's it. There's no other way to be peace. Oh, I'll give a lot of money. That won't make peace with God. I'll do a lot of good works. That will not make peace with God. I'll get baptized. That will not make peace with God. It is your repentance that makes peace with God. And you must stop and recognize you're a sinner. So I challenge you today, with everything inside of me, make peace with God. At the end of our service, we have what's called an invitation. And if you come and say, man, I want to make peace with God. I want to know that I'm saved, know that I'm going to heaven. One of our ministers or their wives will take you to a room in quiet peace and for just a few minutes open the Word of God, tell you what you need to do and what God's done for you, and then it'll be your choice whether you want to accept him or not. But why leave today without knowing him? Amen. Well, there's a second piece though. First, there's a peace with God. That's essential. But there is a second piece called the peace of God. In Philippians 4, we read it. Take a look at it once again. In verse 7, this particularly as we take a look at Philippians chapter 4, the Bible says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm glad that we can have not only peace with God, but as believers, that whatever comes my way, I can have peace of God. In other words, like Horatio Spafford, in whatever trial I'm going through, whatever difficulty I'm going through, I can actually stop and say, you know what? God's in control. And I'm telling you, there's many. Most of you know our story, and you know, being a preacher, your life's kind of an open book. There's not really a lot of secrets. Most of you know that our youngest son, Sam, was born with heart, basically problems, and still has different heart problems to this day. But his aorta valve was closing off. And I remember that first week he was born, he was a little Smurf baby. He was turning blue, you know. And they had him up at the hospital, and he's turning blue. And they said, well, he's got pneumonia. And finally, as the story goes, the doctor figured it out through the grace of God. And man, he went and they did a heart surgery. We were like, praise God. That's a wonderful thing. Then when he was 18, he had a stroke. Yeah, you don't normally have strokes at 18, but he had a stroke. And so at 18, he had a stroke. He still got a valve problem, kind of like what Miss Jane's got right now. And they said probably when he's a little bit older, he'll have to have valve surgery. His valve is leaking and it'll probably expand. And so he's just a walking mess is what we've got right now. Just a problem child, you know. But if I'll be honest with you, I remember Brendan and I being up in the hospital, you know, all day and throughout that week and when they took him to the city. And I can honestly tell you, you know, we didn't want our son to die. But even to this day, we can honestly tell you, when God decides to take him home, I can tell you right now, we have the peace of God. Okay? I don't plan on looking at God and being mad. I don't plan on being bitter and saying, why, God, did you do this to me? I plan on saying, God, I don't know everything. And I don't know the whys, but this I know, you're in control and you're a great God. And God, I'm just going to trust you. It's our greatest opportunity. And I believe that if we're walking close to God and trials come, somehow, some way, there can be a peace inside that passes all understanding. Explain it, preacher. Well, I can't. That's why it says passes all understanding. You know, what is it? It's just an ability. Sure, you'll cry. Sure, you'll weep. That's just normal. But inside, you'll know everything's okay. Everything's going to be fine. Oh, you're going to miss this person and you're going to miss this situation. But hey, God's in control. You mean, preacher, I can have that? Yeah. Well, how do I get that? Well, it begins by just learning to walk in the Spirit. But in Philippians, he outlines some things. We don't have time to go through everything, but let me show you some of them here. He begins, first of all, and he says, verse 4, rejoice. Learn to have joy. I tell you what, as you develop the fruits of the Spirit, it is no accident. No accident, I think, the way the fruits are outlined. First, you need love. Then you need joy. And then once you get joy, you can learn how to have some peace. If you don't have joy, you probably will never find peace. I just tell you, that's the way it is. It's kind of, you begin with love, then you go to joy, and all of a sudden there's this peace. Learn to rejoice. What's that, preacher? We so often look at things in a negative way. Hey, instead of looking at things negative, why don't you try something this week? Try to find the good. Try to find God's mindset, God's perspective in what's taking place. Instead of saying, oh man, the car blew up. It's a bummer. Well, maybe it's an opportunity for you to invite the mechanic to church. By the way, a hint, go invite all the mechanics you know right now, save the car, amen. But really, oh, maybe I end up in the hospital. Maybe you get to invite a nurse to church, praise God. Maybe you get to witness to them. I mean, see the good instead of the negative. We have a prone mindset to look at things from a negative way instead of a positive way. And we're not talking positive thinking. I'm talking about a Christ-like way, the mind of Christ. And realizing that God has a plan for everything. He works all things to our good, as we spoke about. Say, look at it that way. So we rejoice. Secondly, look what he says there. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's talking about peace. He says, hey, learn to rejoice. Learn to have moderation. That word moderation here actually means gentleness. Learn just to live a gentle life. And then he goes down to verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. That word careful means anxious. Can I just help you real quick? Stop worrying. Some of you are worry warts. I mean, you worry about everything. Well, let me help you. If you're going to worry, say, bye-bye, peace. Bye-bye. It'll just be a dream for you. Really, if we can't learn to rejoice and live just a gentle life and just stop. It seems so simple, but for some people, it's really hard. Well, preacher, especially women, I tell women are always pinging. You say, what's that? Women never stop thinking. That is the weirdest thing to me. I have women ask me all the time, preacher, is there actually a time that you don't think? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You mean you can think about nothing? Simple. You just pull out the nothing box and sit there and go, ah. My wife will go, what are you thinking about? Nothing. You got to be thinking about something. No. Women, I mean, it really, it's amazing. My wife's constantly, bing, 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 bing. Everything's related. Everything's connected, you know. And I'm like, whoa, turn it off. I can't. Let me help you, ladies. Listen, I realize you may not be able to stop all the pinging because that's the way you're designed. But you got to stop worrying. Well, if I don't worry about it, who will? No one. But someone's got to be worried about it. Why? It's like a written rule. If nobody worries about it, it won't work. You know, I got a plan. Let God worry about it. He's a little bit better than you. Well, preacher, that is just so easy for you to say that. I'm just saying it's Bible. Bible says don't be worried about anything. It doesn't say don't think about anything. Don't plan. That's not the context here. But once you got a plan and once you prayed about it and you've done all these things, you stop and say, okay, God, it's up to you. Instead of every day, all day, just stressing out about it. I'm telling you, a lot of Christians don't have the peace of God because we don't follow the simple process of learning how to rejoice, just living a gentle life, and just stop worrying about everything. He doesn't stop there. Look what he says here. We could do a whole lesson on just each one of these. But then he says, but everything by prayer and supplication, let your thanks, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. He says, let me tell you how you don't worry about it. You put it in prayer, and then you get up and say, thank you, God. What? It's not done yet. Yeah, but this is where your faith comes in. You believe because you prayed about it, God's going to take care of it. Ah, dear Lord, we need a job. Now. We're going to starve. Need a job. Thank you for the job. You don't have a job. I know, but I'm thinking ahead of time. Why? because you know he's going to provide one. You're going to do your due diligence. You're going to put out resumes. You're going to research. You're going to work hard to find one. But you're going to put it up to God. You're going to come home when you're done putting out the resumes. You're going to sit down with your kids and your family. You're going to play with them. You're going to eat. You're going to rejoice. Enjoy the evening. But what about the bills? You're going to pray about it. Well, what about then? You're going to thank God. Will that work? If you want peace. If you want peace. You see, the Bible says the peace of God that passes all understanding, which means it is attainable. He didn't section it off and say, well, only these few people can have it. No, anybody can have the peace of God. I'm telling you, I'm watching a generation of people that, if I can use the terminology, are just literally freaked out all the time. I mean, you look at Christians today and it's like everything bothers them. Wait a minute, folks. Can I remind you? We have a God. He's still on the throne. His word is still true. Things work out according to his will, his plan. And all you have to do is just trust. Guess what? Are you ready? Him. And then what? The peace of God. The peace of God. Well, when does it come? I believe it comes when we just trust what he says and just do it. And as we do it, suddenly, all of a sudden, you're operating. And it's not that there's not stressful things taking place and rough circumstances taking place, but you're okay on the inside. I mean, how do you drive by, well, float by, the place where the ship went down, you lost four daughters, and you don't fall apart? And you go into your cabin, and in sorrow, of course, pin, but instead of pinning a very sorrowful song, you pin a song that encourages Christians for generations to come. It is well with my soul. I'm telling you, that happens to one way, the peace of God. Can I remind you, he wasn't a minister. He was not an evangelist. I don't even know if he was a deacon of a church. All we know is he was a Chicago businessman, very successful, wealthy man, but he had Jesus Christ in his heart. And then he went a step further and he learned the biblical principles. And in the midst of a great tragedy, he penned a song that encourages you and I every single day that we want it to encourage us. It is well. I ask you today, is it well with your soul? But preacher, this is happening. I know, but is it well with your soul? Yeah, but you don't understand what... But is it well with your soul? Is the peace of God there? You see, I'm convinced. I'm convinced. It's not what happens on the outside. Okay, it's how we react on the inside. You can't affect what happens on the outside. I have no idea what's going to happen this week or next week. I can't control any of that. But what I can control is how I'm going to react to it. And all I know is if I react in prayer and I react in rejoicing and I just decide, Lord, I'm not going to worry about it. Oh, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to plan the best that I can. And then I'm going to turn it over to you. God says, then peace that passes all understanding will come upon you. That's a wonderful feeling. That's a great feeling. So I ask you this morning, do you have peace with God? If today was your day, could you meet God and realize, I have no worries. I know I'm going to heaven because I've made peace with God. And secondly, do you have the peace of God? I mean, you're stressed out all the time. Let me just help you. That's not the way of the believer. That's not the plan for God. Now, I understand human nature. There's going to be some bad days. I understand. But you know what? You should be marked primarily by a person who's calm and gentle and collected. And when bad things come, you're saying, it's okay. God's in control. And that's why you need to learn to walk in the Spirit, folks. It will benefit you so much. But there's another one I want to end with today that I think is important. I think it's important to have peace with God. I think it's important to have the peace of God. I think it's also important biblically to have peace with man. Turn with me to Acts chapter 24, verse 16 real quick. Acts chapter 24, verse 16. In this, as you back up to the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul gives us some hints here. We're also going to go to Romans, but we'll read Acts chapter 24, then go to Romans real quick. Acts chapter 24, verse 16. I like what Paul says here. He says, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man. Now, Romans chapter 12 complements that. Paul writing again. Let me read it for you. Verse 18, he says, if it be possible, boy, that's powerful words right there. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but look at this, overcome evil with good. I like this. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I'm telling you, that's a difficult thing. It is not always easy to live peaceably. This last year, we had one of our first experiences of not getting along with one of our neighbors. And boy, that's difficult, you know. We're very peaceful, gentle people. We like to get along with everybody. But boy, we just had a hard time. I could not make our neighbors happy. As most of you know, we have three dogs. We have two non-Chihuahuas who are Minpins who might as well be Chihuahuas. Long story, but anyways, little bitty things. And of course, little dogs have big mouths. And then to complement that, we have a German Shepherd, 85-pound German Shepherd that is loud, just barks like a German Shepherd. And so we have some neighbors, and so our dogs would bark and, of course, keep the neighbors awake. They don't like that. So we started to make sure the dogs were in the house at night. So from 10 o'clock at night to like 7, 8 in the morning, the dogs had a little area, you know, that they would stay. And, you know, just trying to be good neighbors, don't want to keep people up all night. So that was going pretty good. We'd go to work, we'd let the dogs out, and the dogs would be out there and during the day. But about every day, we were getting phone calls from the neighbors saying, "Your dogs are barking." Well, my thought is, that's because dogs bark. That's what they do. Dogs bark. It's the morning time, you know. You walk down the street. Our dog, by the way, don't ever walk down 3rd Street. It belongs to our dogs. That's just the way it is. If you walk anywhere near our house, they think you're invading territory. So they bark, you know. So anyway, so they would do that. And so, you know, we went over next to the neighbors. And I'd say, "Listen, I know the dogs are barking. And I'm sorry about that. But they're dogs and they bark. I don't know what to do." And he goes, "Well, they get right next to our fence. And my wife's trying to sleep in the room." So I said, "Okay." So we went in the backyard and we built a fence. And I moved over and, you know, we've got the garage area and there's a fence here. And I went all the way over and about 20, 30 feet over and I built a whole nother fence so the dogs couldn't go to the corner. I thought, man, this is good. We're living peaceably with our neighbors. And so we go to work, let the dogs out. Ah, here it is again. Every day a phone call. "Pastor Waterloo, your dogs are barking." Again, my thought, that's because they're dogs. So I went over there and I went to my neighbor. And I said, "Listen, sir, I understand, but see, we built this fence. And the fence is so they're way far away. And I know they don't bark constantly. It's just that somebody walks by, but now they can't even look and see the street. So really, this should be good." "Nope, don't like it." I said, "Okay, I tell you what would you like us to do?" And he said, "I don't want them to bark." I said, "Okay, so you don't want our dogs who bark for a living to bark?" "Yeah." "Okay, well," I said, "sorry, it's going to be really difficult because they're dogs and we have to go to work. And we built a fence. How about if we get a cage and put it all the way on the other side?" "Nope, I can still hear them." So we said, "Okay." So I went to my wife and said, "Man, I don't know what to do. I've never had a situation we couldn't resolve." So we've been over talking with them. So we came up with this decision. We'll put the dog in the garage. Don't ever do that. We now need a new garage. We moved everything up, put it there, put the dog in the garage. But we're still getting phone calls. I'm like, "What's the problem?" "Well, our dog's pretty smart. And the dog would notice as I closed the door and closed the garage door, there was a button. So when we would go to work, the dog would jump up and go, go out and bark all day. It's really cool." So I went to Lowe's and we bought a little thing to cover up the little button that goes, you know, that was great. So we come home one day and she's tore the foam off the garage, all the front of it as she's trying to get out. I'm like going, "This is crazy. I mean, we got the dogs in all night. We got these dogs that can't even run during the day. Just don't know what to do." And I mean, we worked and we worked and we worked. And it was like nothing was going to work. I'm telling you, it is difficult to be in that position. That's why the Bible says, "As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." What are you saying, preacher? Sometimes you can't make someone happy. Sometimes no matter what you do, you're not going to make somebody happy. What do you do, preacher? You don't stress about it. You don't get upset. Why? Be anxious for nothing. But I will tell you this, it is your responsibility to do everything you can to live peaceably with all men. That you can pillow your head at night and say, "I've done everything I can to make things right." Now listen, some of you have no peace because, oh, you got peace with God. You're saved. And you're trying to learn not to worry and you're trying to learn to pray and you're trying to get the peace of God, but it doesn't seem to be coming like you want. And one of your big problems is this. Connected with the peace of God is our relationships with other people. That's why Paul said in Acts chapter 24, "I am void of offense towards God." And now listen, don't miss this. And man, if you come to church, you read your Bible, you're doing everything you can, but you allow yourself to be bitter and angry towards other people, guess what? Say bye-bye to peace. We just read it in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, 19. "Give way to wrath. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Folks, bitterness and anger will rob you of something God wants every believer to have, the fruit of peace. Well, yeah, but preacher, you don't know what they did to me. You're right. I mean, your story is simple, but my neighbor's done this. Yeah, I bet they have. And this family member's done this. Yeah. But the Bible says not to give in to bitterness. Matter of fact, Hebrews 12:15 says the root of bitterness, oh man, it will defile not only you, but many people around you. There are situations that have happened in your life, and you need to learn a very biblical principle called forgiveness. Forgiveness. It is where, yes, you have been offended. You have been taken advantage of. It is very wrong. There's no debate. But you come to a point because you want peace with God, and you want the peace of God. So you're going to do everything you can to make things right with that person. And I'm going to tell you right now as your pastor, you can't always make everything right with that person. You're going to do everything you can. Well, then what do? You just turn it over to the Lord. But what you don't do is live in bitterness and anger. You let it go. Oh, how do you let it go? You just pray about it and let it go. Because I'm going to tell you, if you stay angry and bitter, here's the problem. You don't know what's coming next week. You don't know what's coming next month. And as you're angry at this person, and yet you're going to church and trying to worship God, but you're angry at this person, but you're going to church trying to worship God, you sit there going, preacher, it doesn't work. It always works if you follow the Bible. The problem is we got to put all the parts together, not just the parts that we like. The easy part is going to church hearing a sermon. The easy part is reading your Bible. The hard part is, guess what? Living peaceably with all men. Why? Because some of you don't have real peaceable families. And some of your families don't plan on changing anytime soon. And so you have the tough task of loving them, keeping your joy, and doing everything you can to make peace, realizing they may never change. Well, why would I want to do that? Because if you don't, you're the one who loses. You lose peace. I've learned this over time. There's no reason to be angry and bitter at somebody because it really only hurts you. Most people I've been mad at, they didn't even know. Didn't even know. Don't you hate that? You spend all this precious time trying to make sure they know you're mad at them. And you're just hoping this is getting them. And they don't care. They don't. They just go live their life like everything's okay. And it's like, ooh. Really, you're the one hurt. And then your family's hurt. I found out a more freeing thing is letting it go. Like I said, we've had our major instances in our family. Most of you know, my wife Brenda was assaulted at gunpoint years ago. That was an exciting thing. I've had people ask, you know, what, did you ever find the person? I said, no. Do you ever think about it? Mm-mm. You say, why? Because of these verses right here. What is this? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. To be quite honest with you, I'm pretty sure God's going to do a lot more than I was going to do. Seriously, I really do. I mean, if I catch up to the person, they're probably going to get off pretty easily. I'm going to think it's bad, but they're probably going to get off pretty easily. But if God catches up with them, guess what? I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to stress out about it. I don't have to go through all the details of what's happening to that person. It doesn't matter. You know why? God's in control. See, bad things happen to good people. But we have no right to become bitter and angry. Because when we do, understand what we forfeit. You can be bitter, you can be angry, you can be mad. But understand this. You have to give back peace. Because they cannot inhabit the same place. So whatever has happened to you, whatever you've gone through, understand this. If you're saved, the next thing you have to learn how to do is to try to make things right with people as well. That means you have to confront them. You have to talk. And when you've exhausted everything you can and it still doesn't work out, you just turn it over to the Lord and you walk on saying, it's okay, God, you're in control. Hey, it's okay, God, you're in control. Why? Because I want the peace of God that passes all understanding. I want to be able to go to sleep at night and be able to sleep good. I want to get up in the morning without being stressed out all the time and worried. I want to be able to live my life for God with peace. So I ask you again, is it well with your soul? Is it? If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Have you made peace with God? Oh, you don't make peace afterwards. You make peace right now. If this is your day, this is your year, are you right with God? Do you have the peace of God that passes all understanding? If a tragedy strikes this month, this week, oh, it'll be hard. But would you be able to still worship and praise the Lord? Would you be able to still live your life in joy and love and peace? And then I ask you, what's your relationship like with man? Because as much as we always like to be right with God, understand God has connected the two. God has connected the two. And you can be right with God, but if you're not right with man, I tell you, listen to me. If you're not right with man, it will hinder the peace of God in your life. Folks, there's nothing more wonderful than peace. Peace. Let's stand. Turn to page 275 as we sing It Is Well With My Soul. I challenge you this morning to sing it out if you can. If not, I challenge you to come spend some time with the Lord. If you're here today, and I know one message isn't probably going to totally change everything for your life, but I'll tell you, I hope you begin a journey of peace. God did not design that we live miserable like so many people are living. He designed us to live a peaceful life, a gentle life, but in harmony with God and harmony with man to the best of our abilities. And with that, he'll give us an inward peace that is amazing. But I want to remind you, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you've not patched things up with Almighty God, come today and take care of that. And as a believer, if stress and anxiety and worry is just overflowing, why don't you come and reclaim Philippians chapter 4 and begin living that in your life. As we sing, It Is Well With My Soul, you come.
When peace like a river attends.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, we invite you to stop and visit. We're located 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to get to know you. But until that time, God bless you. Have a great week, and thanks again for listening.